Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Right, yeah, but I think, you know, there's definitely an element of Buck Showalter wanting to be like, oh, you're up 5-0. No, your best players all hit home runs tonight. That'd be a shame if those went away.
Yeah. I mean, once it starts, though, it's in the hands of the league. So
yeah,
it's not like
the
team.
It's a league call.
But, you know, pushing to have that game happen last night could have been part of it. I just think that someone has to recognize that that game was not going to be played if they wanted to start it at the normal start time, at the scheduled start
time.
Because
the Red Sox have never opened up the gates for concessions or anything during rain days.
I feel like they've been
that was
better
years
about
ago.
That was
the Lucchino era.
I feel like it's gotten a lot better on that front.
They did.
I just don't understand why they even played, why they bothered playing that game last night. Just doesn't make any sense. Jared, how do you feel, before we let you go, how do you feel about the direction of the New York Yankees right now, and do you feel like they are spiraling?
It's been a real shame to watch those Yankees because, I was assigned to covering the Tampa Bay Rays for the last three games here, and the Yankees didn't hit any home runs. And that's kind of what they built their offense on, is hitting home runs. And it's been tough, Beal. You know, I hate to see guys like that struggle.
All right, Jared. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Always good to have you.
Miss you guys.
Jared Carrabas.
Jared.
Barstool Sports.
See you, buddy.
With us on the Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. The Yankees. That's real shame to have to watch.
Is that a quick hang-up? Did he forget where he started?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Never forget your roots.
A big star now.
Yeah.
Right?
Think he's lifting with his legs yet, or it's just all upper body still?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He's got such a busy schedule. Yeah. He's got so much going on in his life. I don't know. I can't honestly answer that question. Let's jump back to Dave Dombrowski quickly. We will do that after these headlines, because I found that answer last night to be insane.
Dave Dombrowski, he's the only one saying that.
Dave Dombrowski's answers pregame about the trade. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds after these headlines with Hardy.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots training camp underway. Zolak and Bertrand are in Foxborough, overlooking the practice field at Gillette Stadium. More of them coming up here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Matthew Slater, special teams camp captain, opening camp on the active pup list, along with cornerback Cyrus Jones, safety Nate Ebner, Jonathan Jones, Kenny Britt on the pup list as well. Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones reporting today. Coming to terms on a revised contract that's going to move $2 million from next year to this year's salary. The Red Sox were rained out last night, even though they jumped out to a 5-0 second inning lead. The game is going to be made up as part of a day-night doubleheader coming up August 11th in Baltimore. They did make a move yesterday, acquiring right-hander Nathan Eovaldi from the Rays. More on that coming up with Zoe and Beadle. Dombrowski last night also talking about Joe Kelly struggling.
It's not as strong when he's struggling. He'd been so good for us early in the season. He was a key component of that. We need to get him back. It's apparent his arm strength is fine. He's throwing 99 miles an hour yesterday. So he's going through one of those where he's not pitching well on the mound, and I sure it gets to you from a mental perspective, too.
Tonight, the Sox begin a six-game homestand, first of four against the Twins. Brian Johnson opposes Kyle Gibson. The Twins are 8 back of the first-place Indians in the AL Central. Headlines are brought to you by the Cape Cod Baseball League. Heading to the Cape this summer, don't forget to see the stars of tomorrow shine tonight. For schedules and locations, visit capecodbaseball.org. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Listen live and check out all of our podcasts.
Critics acclaimed it as radio's finest production.
Available wherever and whenever you want.
Getting out of control.
On the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. On your radio and streaming on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Zolak and Bertrand in training camp. Sponsored by AdCare. 1-800-ALCOHOL.
Why would the Orioles starting these games? Why would they do that to us? Why? Life isn't fair. Wasted our time. We had a win taken away from us. The league is out to get us. Big bad Orioles.
That is Adam Jones last night on the Adam Jones Show with Christian Arcan.
Oh, boy.
Talking about last night's game in Baltimore, which started. The Red Sox hit three home runs, took a lead, and then the thing was canceled. It was called off.
I mean, it's like every time I've tuned a baseball game this week, the tarp's out. And there they are in studio talking, or it's Ack, or you know, it's Steve Lyons. I give Jim Murray credit because Jim Murray on Twitter says, if you're not listening to Adam Jones right now, then you are missing out, buddy.
We are live.
Adam Jones.
Did you see what they resorted to last night at one point doing like the town hall meeting with Kevin Youkilis? They're like sitting on a stage.
You're talking about Inesen.
Yes.
Oh, wow. That must have been deep into the rain delay. I didn't even make it to that point.
What was worse, that?
I had seen enough.
Was that worse, or was it worse when the lights went out in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, San Francisco, and Baltimore, and Steve Tasker had to tap dance, and he couldn't?
Well,
remember that uncomfortable 10 minutes?
Yeah. That was not good.
That was bad.
We are here in Foxborough today on Zolak and Bertrand. Training camp is underway in this hour of training camp coverage, also brought to you by Apex Entertainment Center. I can't believe that they let the game happen last night. There's got to be a way for someone to step into that situation and say, guys, don't play that game. Look at the forecast. Look at the weather. Just a giant waste of time.
Did you hear Alex Cora saying we're up 5-0? You know, it's not. You know what? We had our horse on the mound.
Yeah,
our horse, David Price, their horse.
No, I don't care who it was.
It was David Price.
Doesn't matter.
You had no hitter going.
Stop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
For a team to waste a pitcher or for anyone to waste time. Which is the more offensive thing.
I'd be pissed.
To waste people's time. Waste the time of the people who are working there, working in the stadium, working for the teams. Anybody. Just wasting everybody's time. What a waste.
Just a bad product. Yeah, for people that got to schlep there and people that work there. Now you got to adjust. You got to adjust your schedule. And I know it works out for them because they have the extra off day and they can play it on the off day. But neither team really wants to do that. Do you think Buck Showalter really wants to do that? Let's come here. Let's spend 7 hours at the ballpark, sit and wait, get in an inning, put the tarp out. Let's call it. Let's shower. Let's go home. Let's talk about it again. Let's just do it again.
It's just so clueless.
No, nobody wants to do that.
The whole thing is just clueless. What are you doing? I understand why they're pissed.
They're saying
there's some sort of grand conspiracy behind it.
No, that's ridiculous.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I think what you said, Zoe, is right. That team blows.
Yeah.
And they want to get as many games out of the way as possible.
What they're trying to do.
And so they tried to play it, and they ended up, you know, not playing it and screwing themselves as stupid.
What's the minimum to where they can call it and actually get the game
in? 4.5 innings.
That's what they're trying to do last night. Let's try and get it to 4.5. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's get a game in. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah. That's probably what they were trying to do.
I'm not trying to stick
to not have to do a makeup game and not do any of that. Yeah. You're right. No, I agree with that. They're probably just trying to get the thing over with and get another game on the books, which they probably expected to lose in 4.5 innings.
They were getting their ass kicked 4-5
because they'd be taking their last at-bat in the bottom of the fourth.
Right.
You know?
Of course.
Like, that's probably what they're hoping for.
Yeah. Not to stick it to the Red Sox. Yeah, let's get the Yankees. Let's help them shotgun the Yankees ahead of them. No. No. Yankees are 5 back, man.
So, I thought it was stupid. I get why they're pissed. But, you know, I don't think it's a grand conspiracy. That team over there sucks.
Yeah. I would stop talking about it and get over it.
They do seem quite upset, though.
They're very upset.
They do seem, as the headline said in the Globe today, they were furious.
You know what you got, too? You got players manager there. So not only are the players going to be upset, but, hey, I represent these guys. I'm one of them. I'm going to be upset for them.
David Price.
So that's Cora.
Bleep, yeah, I'm pissed.
He didn't talk.
No, that was a quote.
All those poor beat writers.
A quote. He didn't sit there and have a full conversation.
Right.
But he answered that part. Are you pissed? Bleep, yeah, I'm pissed. That's what he had to say. Alex Cora said, I feel for the team, actually. I don't care about the home runs.
Hands finally weren't tingly. And it felt good tonight. Had a 5-run lead.
24 minutes really in low. Was when the delay started. Yeah. And then they delayed him. This is the other part. Why did they delay him for 2.5 hours?
That sucks.
Now, that to me is on the league.
That tells
what
you
are
they're
you doing.
That tells you they're trying to get to the. Is there a window where you could get 4.5 innings in? Let's just
there was, here. Too, because as you heard yeah. Jared saying, you saw tweets from writers that were still there that said, you know, look, it's clear. Pete the Abraham, rain has stopped. Pete right? Abe had a tweet.
Pete had pictures of it. Good job by him. He's had a couple good tweets lately.
He's on a roll. Jared wouldn't know. He's blocked. here it is. Let me tell you the time that this tweet came out last night. Well, that doesn't help. What are we on? West Coast time? I think it was 10:35. 10:35. It was clear. So they could have played a couple of innings and gotten out of there at a somewhat reasonable hour.
Already in bed.
Here's the problem, though. If you start the game after the rain is gone,
you finish it.
You got to finish the game.
That window's open. Yeah,
when the Red Sox say to themselves, "Wait, this game just started. What if you go another three? We're not playing until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I'm playing 7-8 innings. It's ridiculous.
I mean, now you're in a situation where that's not reasonable either.
That's why they're pissed. Should have never started the damn game. Should have just called it. Should have just called the game.
Should have called the game. That would have been the right decision, right. But nobody made that call. Nobody made it. I get why they're pissed off. I'd be pissed off if I were them, too, to start a game and then have to shut it down.
Do you want to get back to that comment by Dombrowski?
Yes. Thank Can you. We play it again, Jim, if we could?
Jim, tee that one up again about the choice to go with Evaldi over Britton.
Nuts.
If you were in on the Zach Britton talks.
Well, we talked to them. And I guess that's all I would say. I mean, I think some of the part of it, we really like this fit for us.
The Evaldi?
Yes.
Okay. Did you say if you felt like you had the power to make that trade?
Yes, we did.
So you say you like the Evaldi. Did you feel kind of like that this was the priority, the getting the starter over the
road? I don't mean to downplay because he's a very good pitcher, but for us, we think the fit was better to get someone like this.
Yeah. The fit was better? I mean, let's call it for what it is. It was a better deal. It's cheaper. It's better value.
Yankees won the day.
It is better value. I won't disagree with that. That's what Jared was making the case for last segment.
No, it is.
You can't get Zach Britton for Jalen Beeks. For Nathan Evaldi, you can get him. And I look at that and say, all right, you got a case, but that doesn't mean you did better than the team that's chasing
you. The only way Dombrowski could describe that the fit is better is that, considering what we had to give up, this is the best thing we could have done, and that's the best
better
fit for us.
Fit.
The fit means you're comparing Britton to him.
Here's the other part,
here's
too.
Here's Britton on your team. Here's Evaldi on your team.
He spoke
Which one's
for,
better?
I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes. He also mentioned at one point that it's possible that they move Evaldi into the bullpen at some point.
We talked
later
about that
in the
yesterday.
Year, and that's
ideal
what we,
scenario.
That's what we talked about. That was Jim's case.
Yep.
That was Jim's case,
Jim
and I said I would reconsider.
Jim
and
credit.
I would amend things, and we'll have to see how he does in the bullpen compared to Zach Britton. But don't tell me he's better than Zach Britton as a fit for your team.
Right, right.
I don't buy that. I don't agree with that assessment. I don't know anybody who does.
Nobody in baseball. I'm not a baseball guy, but I defer to people that cover it, and nobody responded that, wow, this is really a better fit for the Red Sox.
Are you serious, Dombrowski?
Yeah.
What is that?
That's your GM trying to sell his decisions, man.
He is.
Why is he in the position
he is? But you know
what?
He wants it all, though. Did you have the assets to do the Britton trade? And I'm not sure they did. Yes, we did. Of course we did. Okay.
Follow up. What were they? What would it cost you?
I mean, it's like he wants to push.
What would the price have been?
He wants to push any blame on him to, like, down the road.
Yeah.
Where if this doesn't work out, then you can attack him for making a poor decision and picking the wrong guy at the deadline.
Right.
But until then, well, you can't say, oh, you didn't have the assets because you traded everybody away. He says, no, we did, and that this guy's a better fit, and that I'm making the right call. Well, time will tell if he was a better fit and if you did make the right call.
Yeah, about a month. We'll figure it out in about a month.
I'd give it 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Let's see how
we're
at
in
6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll make a call on that. But I just, come on. Don't tell me this was a better move. We chose Nathan Evaldi over Zach Britton. Like, it was just up to us, and we chose that guy over the other.
August 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Wouldn't it suck to be in a tight game playing at home at Fenway Park and have not only Aroldis Chapman come in, but have the ability to go to a guy like Zach Britton and shut you down?
Yeah, Zach Britton's in the 8th for the Yankees,
and
Drew Pomeranz is in for the 8th for the Boston
Or Joe
Sox.
Kelly. You got Joe Kelly.
Or Joe
still.
Kelly.
Well, he's being made on DL. You never know. So.
The wheel of gutless
wheel
bums.
Of gutless bums. We got
trademark,
it right. The wheel of gutless
trademark
bums.
Trademark. Big Jim Murray.
He was also careful to say, Beetle, that that he made that call in the afternoon and waited for the call back. So it wasn't after the Britton move was made that he made the call. He made that call. They were talking for a while. He made the call early in the afternoon, and then they got the call back after midnight after the Britton deal was done. So just to make it sound like, you know, this wasn't out of panic. This was, we made this call in the afternoon.
Oh, he made that point, as I get what you're saying. To prove, to really hammer it home that it was a choice.
Exactly.
And that it wasn't that they got beat to Britton.
Choice, man.
Oh, no. We actually made this deal before the Britton deal. Bull crap, you did. Bull crap. So if you needed to wait for a call back, it means you didn't know if the deal was done.
Right.
Liar. Twisting of the truth. Twisting of the facts.
Like a used car salesman.
Yes, he does come off with that.
Oh, he's got the nice hair, the nice tie. Hey, we got this model here. It's 2 years old. It's coming off a lease, but only has 30,000 miles.
My manager's never done this before.
These things,
but,
these things don't even break in until 55,000. Only has 30,000 miles on
it. It's going to give you that clear coat.
So. Yeah, you know what? I'll throw in some mud flaps and a new set of mats for you.
Never done this before.
Hey, free oil changes for life, pal. Yeah. Go around. Try and get that somewhere else, another dealership.
You're a liar, Mr. Lundegaard.
You're one of those Red Sox vanity plates. You like the nice little thing around it that says, go Sox on the bottom. Yeah, put that on there.
617-779-0985. We'll get your calls and also discuss Tom Brady and his level of play during training camp. What should we expect from Tom Brady this camp? We'll get to that coming up next.
The Pats are back on the field. This is your home for every Patriots game. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Go, my hand.
Are you ready, Tom?
I'm ready, baby.
Okay, let it go, you are. Let it go.
Tom Brady on Instagram this morning, a video in which he was ziplining. Zolak and Bertrand from training camp at Foxborough.
It looks like he was done at Costa Rica.
That scream from him is not the "Yay, I'm having fun" scream. That's "Oh my God!"
It's the
"Why did I do this?"
We did that on a cruise 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And we did it down in Dominican Republic, and you're going through the treetops, and there's monkeys, and it's night. All you see are the holes of the trees, and there's just little tree stands with like guys that live there year-round in the trees, just hanging there, clipping you on. You're standing up there about 60 feet up in the air on this platform. It's scary as hell, man.
Did you do it at Foxwoods?
I did it. I did the high. It's called the High Flyer.
Yeah, and you said you'd never do it again. It scared the hell out of you.
Well, you got to step off a 50-story building.
I'm not doing that.
But your kids go down first, and you got to follow them.
Yeah, you can't chicken out at that point.
Go to Foxwoods. It's the best $50 you'll ever spend.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, and that's the thing you do once, and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah, you swear the whole time.
Yeah.
And you forget. It's 3 minutes, and it lasts like 4 hours.
Longest 3 minutes of your life.
Longest 3 minutes of your life.
Here's a question I have.
Get me down.
As he gets down.
Yeah.
Pukes up his insides. Here's a question I have about Tom Brady as we go into this camp. So what do we expect from him in camp? We have seen in recent years some incredible training camp practices from Tom Brady. Have we not? We have seen days where he looks damn near perfect, if not perfect.
Yeah, and I think it's as you go deeper into these practices, because you know he's starting to get a feeling of it, and he's got to elevate his game in the team stuff. That's what's important to him. It's not really how he fares against, you know, fullbacks on linebackers and one-on-ones down here, or the tight ends on safeties. It's when they come together as team. And what's the rhythm? Is the ball, you know, what's the pocket look like? If there's a guy running free up the middle and runs by him, Tom Brady completes a pass, that does nothing for him. Are they able to pick up the blitz, and can Brady get rid of the ball in a normal, quick situation where it's out, he reads it perfectly, gets it out? And I think we're going to see more of that once you get into the team stuff, like the team practice. It's going to be Monday night under the lights here at the stadium for season ticket holders.
Yep.
And that's where you kind of split the team up, and you let both your defense coordinator and your offense coordinator call the game. So Bill Belichick kind of sits back and he monitors both teams, you know, and he's out there and he's watching with Ernie Adams and they're talking. But okay, here they go as they head out to run the hill and get their first dose of conditioning. It's going to be
good.
Put
it in the bank. They're going to put it in the bank.
Put it in the bank
there.
For what? Divisional round, right?
Yeah. My question is, though, Garoppolo's not here anymore.
Right.
And we've heard about the competitiveness, and Garoppolo even spoke in one of his stories this week about the bucket drill after training camp practices. And we've seen it. They put a trash can 40 yards downfield, and you're going to drop it in the bucket. And these guys would get pissed at each other over who was winning daily in dropping it in the bucket after practice, something they did on their own, nothing that was actually
hard. That's
what
I used to do.
Yeah, it wasn't
something
actually.
This has been going on for years.
They would do competitively after practice. Right. This is not something the team is telling them to do.
Right.
And that just sort of speaks to Brady knowing there's a guy behind him who's pretty good.
Sure.
And never wanting to be what Bledsoe was to him.
You don't want to give the reps.
Well, he never wanted, you know, Brady replaced a guy, so he knows what that's like. He knows what the chase is like, the pursuit of trying to be the starter. And Garoppolo apparently had that same DNA.
I don't understand.
And now that guy's not here anymore. Brian Hoyer is no threat to Tom Brady.
No, he's not. But I don't understand why people are getting upset with Garoppolo's commentary there. And I listened to Jimmy's press conference yesterday in San Francisco. He talked about, not only was this about Tom or competing, it's just the way you compete in general, in sports or life. He goes, I got brothers. He goes, I was like this with my brothers. We go out and play basketball. It's one-on-one. And we wouldn't talk to each other for 3 days if I kicked your ass. That's exactly what Brady said about Bledsoe back in the day.
Yep.
He kept telling that kid, Shay, that I'm going to beat this guy out. I'm telling you. I'm going to beat him out. And you've got to have one guy plays, man. If you got three quarterbacks, you have none. Really. You should not be rotating quarterbacks or say, we're okay if this guy goes down because we got this guy. Because that means you really, truly don't have one. And it's also going to be up to Hoyer to find ways to go back on the days he was here in past years and find ways to motivate Tom. He's got to know when Tom's slacking. You can read it. Or maybe he's having a lazy day. Pick it up. That's on Hoyer, too. Not to say that he's going to push him or compete.
And I'm not saying that it's somehow like conscious that Brady all of a sudden, I don't have Garoppolo here. I can slack.
Right.
It's just that when you feel someone breathing down your neck, subconsciously, you're going to be better.
Sure.
You
absolutely
are. And we have seen some incredible practices over the last few years from Brady during camp. Do we see that same level of play? And because Brady sort of elevates and that sort of brings up the rest of the team with him. You know, we've seen that happen where Brady comes out and starts practicing like a guy who's in midseason form.
I mean, it's
like
that
forces everybody else to be better.
And it's like that throughout the league. We talk about your top tier guys. We talked about elite quarterbacks at the start of the show. Who's pushing Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay? Nobody. It's not Lundley. I mean, you know. So the great ones, when we talk about him, who's pushing Drew Brees?
Aaron Rodgers or not, nobody is Tom Brady.
Nobody's Tom Brady.
Nobody.
No, but you've got to be able to push yourself, and that's part of the gig. That's why you're doing it for 19 years. That's why you're coming back. And, okay, you put everything behind you. Your mindset's fine now entering camp. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if we hear from him on his birthday. That's normally when he speaks, August 3rd. Next Friday. We'll be down here.
End of next week.
We'll be down here for that.
On a Friday.
So he gets a week to get.
It seems like the day.
It gives him a week to get everything under his belt. Understand who his teammates are. You know, some of the new guys.
Uh-huh.
Refresh it with the old guys. Get your rhythm down. And then have a pretty good feeling of where you are.
Rob Gronkowski is scheduled to speak after this practice ends today. And when he does speak, we're gonna carry it live.
Yeah.
Assuming he does talk today as scheduled.
Good.
There is going to be a special presentation on the field today, Zoe. A bunch of military families are here.
Excellent.
There's a surprise in store for them. The concert for Taylor Swift is also going on here at Gillette Stadium.
What a stage.
Did you see that stage?
I've been to the last four concerts that she's came. I've counted Taylor Swift out. But 60 tractor trailer trucks for her concert.
It's packed.
60.
There's
tractor
trailer trucks everywhere out there.
We've been here for Guns N' Roses. We've been here for U2. U2 doesn't even put this on. Kenny Chesney, you know, when they do the Country Fest.
Closest thing to this was Coldplay, is what I can remember.
Yeah, why is Coldplay? Because it's the massive.
I would say Coldplay was similar in size.
The production of it.
And production.
Yeah.
To Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but they're lighting a stage up. This is a massive.
You're going
stage
this year? I know T Swift is your girl.
No, not going.
They're not
going
to make it three shows down here.
You know what? You know what's going to happen? The girls are going to get the edge. They're going to say, let's go. I'm going to end up coming over one of these nights.
And you think that's going to happen for you?
I have no problem. I like Taylor Swift.
I know you like Taylor
Swift. She plays 22.
That's why I said. Yeah. By the way, Taylor Swift. Again, that's your girl. Deserves credit, by the way, for donating, I think, thousands of tickets to families of Weymouth police officers, given everything that has happened in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and she's
a very nice gesture on her part.
She's been around the area, too. She owned that house in Narragansett down at
the
beach.
She still owns that thing?
I don't think she does.
She was dating the Kennedy kid.
Right, yeah. But, she's been around the area and has a little bit of roots here, so Yeah, we'll see.
So that starts here tonight as well. But camp is happening, and the Patriots are out on the field, and Zoe's going to go depart. Yeah, don't adjust your television. Zoe just had a costume change during the break.
Yeah. Actually, I'm getting a call now. I got to head down. I'm going to do the Coach for All Access. So, okay. I will return
them. Get something right. Good out of them and report back.
Of course.
Zoe's going to go down to the field level. He's going to talk to Bill Belichick. We will hopefully be talking to players as they leave the field. They are still on the practice field doing some post-practice conditioning on the hill. If you're a Patriots fan, you've seen that footage before as they put it in the bank, as they say. 617-779-0985. Here are the headlines with Hardy.
The Pats are back on the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand, live from Gillette Stadium, overlooking the practice fields where day one of Patriots training camp is winding down. Patriots have done some conditioning work, but most players are staying on the field and working on some individual group activities. So they will shortly be departing and making their way back to the Patriots locker room, and we expect to hear from a number of Patriots before they do that. So we will cut away whenever that does happen. In the meantime, with a practice pretty much wrapped up, that means we have tweets from training camp.
Tweets from training camp.
As I mentioned before the break, Zoe is at field level. He's got an interview for TV schedule with Bill Belichick. Hardy is back in our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. Hi, Hardy. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Hi, Beagle. How are you? So, do you want to just run down in order? You want to go like first ones that came out first? I mean, how do you want to do this?
I think chronologically, whatever you got.
I don't have them chronologically. I shouldn't have asked. I'm just going to start reading.
Here we go. Just read them.
Here we go. From Doug Kide, Malcolm Mitchell is the lone absence from day one of Patriots training camp. Pup guys, Kenny Britt, Matthew Slater, Jonathan Jones, Cyrus Jones, and Nate Ebner, and Brandon Bolden, who's on the NFI, are here, but not in uniform. So Malcolm Mitchell's the only guy not there.
The guys who he mentions that are on PUP but are not in uniform are out here actually doing things, though, from what I can tell. They've been, you know, running. They've been doing some conditioning. They're not just standing around. They're actually doing stuff. So I take that always as a positive sign. But Mitchell not being here, to be expected. And I'm sort of curious how long they wait before they resolve that situation.
All right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know that. But it's not totally unexpected. So something that a lot of people, you guys were talking about this earlier, going to be keeping an eye on the O-line. Patriots O-line, according to Mark Daniels, Brown, Tooney, Andrews, Mason, Cannon. That's what he saw out there. So I don't know if that's what you guys had predicted or what it's going to look like, but I think that's going to be changing around a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that situation is going to be fluid.
Yeah.
The entire camp.
Yes.
They're going to shuffle that group up. And by the way, Brown is noticeably big. He is huge, man.
Has not missed many meals in the offseason?
Oh, no. I don't mean like that. Oh, I mean like size-wise.
Okay.
Like width, height.
Just a big guy.
The Patriots have had a lot of smaller, more athletic linemen over the years.
Yeah.
They've got a big boy in Brown. That guy, I mean, just looking down from here, let's see. He's at the complete other end of the field. So he is about 150 yards away. And you can tell he is noticeably bigger than all of the other offensive linemen that are near him.
We love the completion numbers for quarterbacks in training camp. So I have these for you. In 11 on 11, that's where it really counts, right?
Yep.
Brady, 11 of 15. Brian Hoyer, who I forgot was still on the team, 11 of 17.
Or you'd like to forget that he is on the team.
And I'm not like a Hoyer guy. I'm like, oh, yeah, Hoyer's the backup. Forgot
you
about
and him,
that.
Both Spartans. You
that's
love that guy.
That's right. He's spotty. And Etling, 4 of 5. So those are your quarterback completion numbers for 11 on 11. Brady, 11 of 15. I guess percentage-wise, a tick below Etling, 4 of 5. But, you know.
Telling you, that 4 of 5 for Etling is legit. It's legit. He worked on his throwing mechanics after the season ended in college, and he's continued to do work, and it's been reported on, and he's talked about it. it looks different. It looks like he's throwing the ball much better than he did in any of the college highlight reels I watched of him. So he's out there doing a lot of work now, too, wearing a number in the 50s.
Okay.
Which is just so weird.
Yeah, it is odd to see a quarterback, a two-digit number that starts with a 5. What do we got here from there was an interception of Tom Brady today. I mentioned this in the updates. Alandon Roberts intercepted Brady in 4-on-4.
Wow.
So that
missed see that today.
Yeah, that sounds like a miscue there from Brady. Not a lot of competitive drills, according to Kevin Duffy. Decent amount of red zone work where the Brady to Gronk connection shined. Brady to Gronk looking good in the red zone drills. Not a lot of competitive stuff, but in the red zone, those guys were hooking up.
Like that.
A pass, catch, hooking up. That's
what two stars, two football stars, Brady to Gronkowski.
Mike Giardi, never afraid to let a tender moment pass him by, reports that Robert Kraft made his usual appearance and exchanged a hug and a kiss with Tom Brady.
Yeah, he was also chatting it up with Belichick, I saw earlier, too. He was here for a decent amount of time.
And how much interaction?
He might still be down there, actually. I saw him a short time ago. I think he might still be down there.
I'm waiting for reports on the amount of interaction between Brady and Belichick, because at the mandatory mini camp, not the ones that Brady skipped, mind you. Not the OTAs.
Not OTAs.
Yeah. The mandatory minicamps, the one that they had to go to, that he did go to, the reports were they literally didn't say a word to each other. Now, working at opposite ends of the field, but one would think the head coach would make an effort to mosey on down to where his starting quarterback was working on stuff, but apparently that didn't happen during the mandatory minicamp. I'm looking for reports as to whether or not that happened today.
It's hard. I didn't see much because I don't think they were near each other on the field.
Yeah.
Because you've got a situation defensively where Matt Patricia is gone and you've got Brian Flores and the staff defensively that are going to probably get a lot of attention from Bill Belichick at this time of year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know that they're going to, you look at Josh McDaniels and everyone looks at him as a guy who right now could be and should be an NFL head coach. And he runs the offense, and Bill doesn't have to really do a lot of work there, whereas defensively, there's no more Matt Patricia. He's going to spend a lot of his time with the defense, I assume, during this camp, which means him and Brady are not going to have a lot to do with each other. So, who knows? Who knows how it's going
to
go?
Got to get to this one. We got to get this one in from Ben Volen. Defensive linemen finish practice by working on their hand-fighting technique with martial arts coach Joe Kim. We spent a lot of time talking about Joe Kim in this offseason.
Here we have Master Joe Kim performing a momentum break.
That's not him.
This type of break places his hand 3 inches from the barn board.
That's a different Joe Kim.
Are you sure we
had the wrong Joe Kim?
For further videos, please refer to his website at joekimtaekwondo.com.ne.kr.
No, that's the guy. That's him.
/ wax on / paintthefence.gov.
.com.ne.kr.
Whatever foreign country that web extension is for.
Visit https://.
Joe Kim. Play it one more time. Joe Kim Taekwondo.com.ne. .kr.
For further videos, please refer to his website at joekimtaekwondo.com.ne.kr.
That was going on at the far goal line. That was happening down there. I didn't realize that it was Taekwondo. It was very methodical, though. Like, one step forward.
Chop him in the throat.
It was. There was a lot of it going on. I'm like, they're obviously working on some technique stuff down there.
Here we have Master Joe Kim performing a punch while holding an egg by its width, not its length.
Well, now we know the Taekwondo master is here. I'm going to look specifically for that Taekwondo master.
Oh, God. All right.
Every chance we can get. All right. Player's still on the field. It looks like they'll be coming off.
Which way he's holding the egg? Why does that change?
Long way. Long way.
Why does that change?
Here we have Master Joe Kim performing a break with two fingers while holding an egg.
He holds his eggs the long way, from what I hear.
How does he eat his corn on the cob?
I don't know. Okay. You have to ask him. All right. Maybe we'll get him for an interview at some point this camp.
Yes, please.
All right. We will. I'm trying to gauge this here as to whether or not players are leaving or not. What do you guys think in your professional opinion?
You're asking me my professional opinion?
No, not you. I'm asking the people here.
I'm in Dorchester.
Stay right here.
I have no
opinion.
Okay,
we're going to stay here.
Okay. All right, we won't move. I'll give you another tweet while we're waiting.
Yeah, give me another tweet while I try and gauge what we're doing here.
This one's pretty good from Kevin Duffy. Pats appear to be looking at Philip Dorsett as an inside wide receiver. He spent considerable time working with Julian Edelman and Brady. Also, Dorsett shook Gilmore for a nice touchdown in goal line 11s. So that's a decent tidbit there from Kevin Duffy.
It's not bad.
No, I'll take that. Another slot guy.
I'll take that.
All right.
Yep.
Also from Jeff Howe, who is all business, as we know.
All business,
Jeff Howe. Love that about him. He mentioned that Brady was 11 of 15 in the first practice. Trent Brown and Joe Tooney started on the offensive line with Wynn as the backup left tackle. Sony Michel's reps with the starters seemed notable. Practice ended with hill sprints. What do we say about the hill sprints, Beetle?
Put them in the bank.
That's what you're doing. Also, Jeff Howe tells us that Gilmore was in coverage for just one completion, and that was Brady to Dorsett, but it was a zone with a softer shell. Strong offseason continues into the first day of camp. Eric Rowe had a better day. Jason McCourty got reps in team drills. Devin's brother, who we know, joined the team. So
yes. Two brothers that look exactly alike.
That's right. And Devin told him, he said, the only advice I can do what I do. Go where I go. Act how I act. That's what he said. Oh, yeah. That's what he told his brother.
Do what I do.
Yeah.
Just do what I do.
That's
okay.
Just do what I do. You'll be
Follow
fine.
My lead.
That's exactly
If you don't
right.
mind.
Yeah. It's pretty
Follow
good advice.
Maybe we'll be able to talk to one of the McCourty brothers today. I have a question for them.
Which
about,
is what?
Try about it out their mom. Oh. About their mom. Because she now has both of her sons on the same team. She used to have a split jersey.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one half Patriots, one half Titans. Now she can wear one team, Patriots jersey. But what number do you put on it? How do you handle that situation?
Maybe you add them up. Add up the numbers.
30 and 62.
Yeah.
But then you're no longer... Then you're no longer wearing a
who's 62?
A McCourty jersey. At that point, you're wearing a Joe Tooney jersey.
It's going to get confusing.
Right. It says McCourty on the back, but it has Tooney's number. I don't think that's going to work.
I think you do two sets of smaller numbers and you stack them on top of each other.
Well, I would say put maybe the solution is put one number on the back and one number on the front.
Maybe you multiply them.
Now we're going to have a large
that's essentially what you're talking
number.
About with twins. You know, they're multiply. You know?
They're multiples.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's oh, Beetle, you just answered it. You answered your own question. They're multiples. Is that what you call your twins? Multiples?
Well, no, we don't. But I'll tell you what, the doctors do. And therefore, do you know what they call my other son? What they've called him in the past?
Singular?
They've called him a singleton. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? They're like, what about your singletons? I'm like, my what? My who? You know, he's just a lonely singleton over there.
Learn their names. We're finding a new pediatrician. Well, I'm not doing this anymore. Not referring to my children's multiples.
No, it's not their regular pediatrician. It was a specialist of some sort. Oh, and how's your singleton? What? My single what?
It's probably it's part of some big inside joke where they're standing outside like, all right, the Bertrands are here. All right, I'm going to go ask the simpleton about his singleton. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Singleton. Yeah. That's what they're doing. Any more tweets or we read them all?
That's it. We've exhausted the tweets.
We had Master Joe Kim performing a break with his five fingernails while supporting an egg in his palm.
Oh, second team offense fumbled a snap. The entire offense had to run a lap. That's
yeah,
from
do a lap.
Ben Mittens Volen. Thank you for that one, Ben.
Here's a tweet from training camp from Lisa Krause Edwards, who covers the NFL also is married to Jack Edwards. Overheard at Patriots training camp from an elderly woman in a wheelchair. I want to steal Rob Gronkowski and bring him home. I want to be his cougar.
What?
I kid you not. That is a real tweet from training camp.
And again, from who?
Lisa Krause Edwards, who reports on the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Reporter.
Uh-huh.
Also the wife of Jack Edwards, Bruins play-by-play announcer.
So
overheard at Pat. What?
So she's actively soliciting for a boy toy.
No, she's not. The elderly woman is.
Oh.
Overheard at Patriots training camp from an elderly woman in a wheelchair. I want to steal Rob Gronkowski and bring him home. I want to be his cougar.
Heartwarming. I'm surprised Giardi didn't pick up on that because he likes the more sentimental stories from camp.
Those are the kinds of stories you get out of training camp. And I will say, Hardy, training camp practices are a shell of their former selves.
How's
what they are?
How so?
They're not as long. Number one, they're much shorter. They're much more compact. There is very little. There's no physicality. There's no hitting.
Oh, yeah, but we know that. I thought you were talking about from like a year or two ago. You're talking from
But I am saying that too because we already know the changes from many years ago. It felt today, and Zoe noted this too. He said this is getting worse by the year in terms of how little contact or how slow it is compared to when they really used to crank it up at the start of training camp.
Right.
And, maybe this is much smarter anyway, as far as, I guess, getting ready and kind of ramping up as you get closer to the season. But it was noticeable today. It really was. There was not the same speed or even, I don't know, same amount of work. It felt like they were doing less than they typically do. They're just sort of breaking the ice here on day one.
That's very
which is probably which I think is the new norm in the NFL. But I think every year it changes even a little bit more.
Yeah,
every year
it's also very humid today, Beetle. Let's give the young men a break out there. I don't want to tax them too much.
It's actually nice down here.
Is it? Oh, it's soupy everywhere else. You're lucky down there. I don't know. I'm fully on board with them doing less in the preseason if it's to avoid injury. My only fear is that it results in, a bit of a lackluster product in the first couple of weeks of the regular season. But
well, Hardy, why don't we welcome in a member of the Patriots who can speak to this?
Good.
It's fullback James Devlin, who joins us from field level here at training camp. Hey, James.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing well. We were just talking about training camp, and it feels like training camp from years ago is long gone. Do you feel like the start of training camp now is just sort of breaking the ice and getting everybody out on the field before you really start to sort of pick things up a little bit?
Well, it's always good to come back, and we got a lot of stuff to work on. Nothing from the past carries over to this season, so we got a fresh start, and we're just looking to improve every day, man.
James, this offseason, NFL put a new rule into place about helmet contact, and this is going to impact offensive players, and I know that there's been some confusion with players and coaches across the league about what is legal, what isn't legal. What kind of clarification have you had, or what do you understand this new rule to be going into the season?
I mean, as far as I know, it's exactly how the rule is stated, in the new rule book, and so we have to abide by those rules and be sensitive to those things because it's new to this game. So we're gonna have to play it by ear and see how it goes this season, and we'll kind of just roll with the punches.
Yeah, is it something you have to consciously focus on, though, as you go through camp and get ready?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to keep tabs on it. Obviously, you can't let it affect your game too much, but you have to kind of be sensitive to it, that it is a new rule, and, those rules are going to be enforced.
Training camp underway here at Foxborough. We're talking with Patriots fullback James Devlin. And James, the backfield on offense seems pretty full. You got a lot of guys that are in the group.
We do. We have a great stable of guys. A lot of guys with different skill sets, and so it's going to be fun, man. We're going to see how this thing shakes out, over the next few weeks, and I'm a lucky guy to be able to lead block for these guys because they got so much skill back there, and so I just got to go and do my job and try to open up holes for these guys.
It's early, but at what points are there checkpoints as you go through camp and preseason where you feel like the entire offense, everyone starts to get on the same page and How do you sort of gauge that going forward?
You know, I think it's a complete work in process from, you know, the beginning, first day of training camp to the first regular season game. You know, we're always trying to improve. I don't think there's any day that you can say is more important than the next or the last. And so, you know, we just have to go put our best foot forward every single day, try to improve and become the best team, you know, completely as we can.
Do you look forward to the first day of actually having some contact?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's my role, and that's my, the thing that is my position is contact. So, you know, I'm looking forward to Saturday.
All right, James. Appreciate the time. Thanks for stopping
by. Thank you.
James Devlin, Patriots fullback on his way off the field here in Foxborough. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk to some other Patriots as well. Rob Gronkowski is scheduled to speak in the near future. When he does, at the field level here in Foxborough, we will hopefully have that for you and carry it live. We'll see. Is anyone else stopping by that we know of? Okay, is that coming up now? A couple minutes? For tap dancing.
I have some engineers here in the studio with me in Dorchester if you'd like to talk to them.
What's that, Hardy?
I have some engineers here with me in the studio in Dorchester if you want to fill some time with them.
No, I just want to know what they want me to do here. Oh, so we're working on getting a better position or something. Is this Gronk? Okay, let's have a listen. Rob Gronkowski on the field.
I mean, it's good to get out there to first practice, get the wheels turning, get everything going, the competition amped up, and it was fun out there. I mean, it's a grind. Training camp's a grind. You never know what you're going to get out there, and I just got to keep fighting through it.
How difficult is it to kind of balance that? Because you know how tough it is going in as a veteran to make sure that you're still having fun out there, but getting all that work done.
Oh, you got to enjoy what you do. You got to enjoy the work, and it is. It's fun. We got good coaches out there. I like working with my coach, the guys around me. We're always together, working hard, joking around when it's time to joke around, and just getting work done, which is the main goal.
Rob, this has been one of the most scrutinized off seasons in Patriots history. How do you deal with that? How do you put it aside?
It's been aside. Well, when I first stepped in the building yesterday, I feel like there's nothing like that going on in the building, and everyone's together as a team. Everyone's together as a unit.
Do you think this might be a more scrutinized team this year than in past years, given that it used to be always the fans were all Patriot way, but now there's a sort of a Brady thing, a Belichick thing, a Kraft thing, a Gronk thing. Do you think everything can all come together?
I'm not really worried about that. I mean, we know what's going on inside the building, and that's everyone working together, and that's everyone working as hard as we can and to the best that we can to get a job done, and that's prepare the best we can out here on the practice field. My job is to come out here and play the best I can play every single time I step on the field and try to play as a unit.
Gronk, I know it's on in 2018, but how much can you or do you personally use that loss in the Super Bowl as motivation off season and into this season?
I mean, just coming into a new year, there's always motivation no matter how your season ended. It's just a new season, new grind, and it's not about what happened in the past, win or loss. It's about what goes on in the future now and what goes on in the present right now.
Is there more pressure on you with Danny Gaughan really as
his first
round
career?
Is there more pressure going into the season?
There's been pressure ever since I got here, and it's a new job. So whatever my job's asked to do, whatever I get asked to do, I got to go out there no matter what it is.
All right, we're going to bail on Rob Gronkowski. If he says anything of note, we'll try and get that after the fact. It's almost as if Bill Belichick told Taylor Swift, why don't you start that sound check right around 11:55, if you don't mind, as the guys are coming off the field.
What happens when you got to juggle this stuff.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you hear how loud? I don't know if that comes through.
Oh, you can't hear.
Is inside the stadium. Yeah. Rob Gronkowski is on the backside of the stadium, outside, 100-plus yards away from the stadium on the grass, and that's the noise coming out of that stadium right now. Holy smokes.
Yeah,
is he there? Can we talk to him? Let's go back. We're going to go back down to the field right now.
Okay.
Jason McCourty is with us.
No,
is that
not yet.
Is that correct? Hello?
Check, check.
All right, got to give it a minute.
Nope, give it a minute.
Give it, right. Give it a moment.
I was down there in the field. You can't hear anything. Can't hear anything.
It's loud down point. There.
It's like monster truck, you know, that rally they had. You can't hear anything. They got it coordinated, though. You know, that's the problem. You have three nights of a concert. coincides with the opening of training camp for probably the most popular team other than the Cowboys opening camp. Nice turnout by the fan zone. It got loud. Humid and hot down there.
So. This is, again, another hour of coverage from training camp in Foxborough on Zolak and Bertrand, WBZ-FM and HD1 Boston. And this hour from training camp brought to you by Safety Insurance. So our thanks to Safety Insurance for helping bring this coverage live from training camp this year. We're going to get to the headlines with Hardy, and we will also hopefully hear more from the Patriots coming up live at training camp and your calls as well this hour on Zolak and Bertrand.